With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Alrighty, today's episode is brought to you by harrys.com/think tank. They are the good, kind, well-meaning, we presume, people. But, I mean, are their motivations even an issue when all that they do in the world is so good? I mean, they could be doing it for whatever reason. Mm. You know, we shouldn't speculate. The end product for you is great. It's a good, close, value, high-value shave. And we'll got more information about it later in the podcast. But suffice to say, Harry's are bringing you this episode, and we presume that their motivations are pure.
Bees.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall. And joining us in the tank is Benjamin Russell.
That's correct.
Can I call you a hot piece of soul?
Yeah, you can call me a hot piece of soul.
I call you a hot piece of ass soul?
Sure, yeah. In the soul world, other souls would love to just get a piece of me.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think, like one soul to another that you can sort of...
Soul to soul,
that you could sexually harass somebody else's soul?
Yeah, in the soul world. Of course, I mean, different things are attractive in soul world because we, of course, have shed this corporeal body.
Mm, that's true. But then
live in a pyramid.
So does that mean that if you have a hot ass?
Yeah.
So it's a pyramid.
Yeah,
so
it's a pyramid in the sun.
Yeah, right. Inside the sun, or like there's like some of the sun rays can access it?
No, it's inside the sun. That's where the rays come from.
Mm. Yeah, right. Yeah. Also, the rays are emitted by the pyramid.
Yeah. Yeah. And do the rays emanate from the souls having sex? Is that how that happens?
Yeah. I mean, you've got a lot of souls in there. There are more dead people than there are alive people.
That's true. Certainly, you know, in my basement.
In fact, in just things, because, I mean, this isn't a Catholic deal, you know. So
everything goes to heaven.
Everything.
But amoebas. Also, I guess if they're having constant sex, they must be reproducing as well, so there'd be way more as well.
Yeah, they got little soul babies. That's where babies come from.
Can you reproduce in heaven?
This isn't heaven. This is the...
Nirvana or paradise. We don't like to say the edge word.
Oh, really?
When the soul is born from two souls having sex inside the sun pyramid, the pyramid inside the sun, which is it made of bricks or is it sort of clear so that the light emitted from the sex can be...
It's diamond.
The sun?
It's diamond. Yeah, it's made of diamond. So the soul, it makes even brighter.
Yeah.
Because it's refracted.
Oh, right. I didn't know that made
all
things...
that light. Think about all that light.
Yes.
Then just refracting in on itself and then out. So it's like gathers
so
up.
So it gets brighter somehow.
It gets bigger.
Yeah, yeah. More of it. Yeah.
Does it get focused or something like that?
Maybe, or it just joins up. It's like you're putting one little bit of milk in a bowl. But if you put two streams of milk, that's like double the milk.
Yeah, that's true.
Like that milk is... The milk...
Refracted.
In the time that it takes to get from the glass... bowl into the ceramic bowl.
Yeah.
I imagine there are two bowls.
So it's just bowl to bowl.
Yeah. It's bowl to bowl action.
Yeah, which is kind of what I guess soul sex looks like.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just touching bowls.
Yeah, I mean, if your mind has to, it's like the aliens in Contact.
Mm.
Yeah. The cocoon? Souls. No, okay, Contact. Okay, sorry, different. Yeah. Although similar. Huh. Is there a link?
They could be.
Are the cocoon aliens the same as the contact aliens?
I hope so.
They just steal a bunch of old people and then come back. That's why he came back as her dad. Spoiler alert for Contact. But there are no aliens. It's just her dad. And
No.
Yeah.
And he's old. he was alien to her because they hadn't had a good relationship.
Yeah. Sorry, I had one last question about the...
I want to hear more about the soul bowl. Yeah. So is it that the soul fills up a bowl like milk, or would you say that you don't really need the bowl because the soul holds together?
The soul is just a way for your mind to process. Yeah, right.
So the soul is the mind.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, in what way?
In the mind way.
I had just a question with regards, I'm still interested about the bowl and what things are shaped like a bowl.
Yeah.
But my real question is, when two souls make a baby soul?
Yes.
You said that's where babies come from.
That's where babies come from.
But baby souls? Or does every soul create like a soul on Earth?
You can't put an adult soul in a baby.
Okay.
It would just... Can you imagine?
That wouldn't...
Can you imagine the chaos? It would be pandemonium.
Yeah.
But
is that bad?
Yeah. Okay. So you got to put baby souls in a baby soul. Otherwise, the whole system just gets very... It slows it all down. There's a lot of like bureaucracy in there. So.
And so sun rays are souls coming over, or they're just...
That's just the light from the souls fucking.
Okay, right. And so how does a soul get from the sun into
solar
a baby?
Solar wind.
Solar wind.
So the babies,
yeah,
they come on a little soul bus.
Yeah. I like that. And yeah. I guess the dead come back on some kind of public transport as well.
No, they gotta walk.
Oh, bummer.
That's why they're so tired when they get back. And then zombies.
But they're ready for sex.
But they are ready to fuck.
Yeah.
But again, you know, souls fuck differently, and it translates to just mindless biting and eating and off your face.
That's how souls fuck.
No, but that's just how they're interpreted on Earth at that time.
Oh, so if we were to get a telescope that could dampen the light from the sun enough, we could see inside and we would just see biting and things
like
that.
Yeah, if you take enough DMT, you can walk the astral plane and
check it out. But that makes a whole lot of sense, actually, because, you know, if from the point of view of a dead soul, you know, lovemaking, I'll call it lovemaking. I don't really like the sorts of terms that you use.
Fucking?
Yeah.
What about coitus? Soul coitus.
Yeah, soul coitus. Okay, coit to coit. If they don't have a physical form, then for them it would be very much sort of a merging and a mutual consumption, you know, one enveloping the other and becoming intertwined. So it's very understandable that a zombie, when it wanted to have sex, would try and consume the living form of another.
Why aren't you biting me back, baby?
Why don't you bite me back, baby?
Yeah, so they get heartbroken.
And that's why they're so angry.
Yeah.
Because they've been rejected. You know?
Yeah, they're confused.
They want to be bitten back.
They just want to... They were looking for a sofa and maybe some Netflix and a Kit Kat.
Mm-hmm. Just to chill out.
Just to chill out and have some alone time. Red wine. Ack. this is what adulting looks like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. It's like it can be hard, but sometimes you get to just relax and that's nice.
For me, adulting is like not knowing what to do, you know?
Yeah. Would you guys like to join my son cult?
Well, this is the way I guess I would like to try to like see if we can bottle this. Is there is there a kind of a sketch in this in the sun cult? I mean, is it just one man's explanation for?
Well, I think it would be quite nice to see if if we'd sent a probe out to the sun,
which we have.
Yeah, which we have. It's probably sending back data right now.
Oh,
we do have one, yeah.
You know, if NASA had got all this data and then quite genuinely and seriously had to come out and explain all of this.
Well, they wouldn't. That's why they hide the Earth firmament.
They hide that,
yeah.
The Earth's firmament.
Yeah, because it would just freak people out. You know?
Yeah.
So wait, the sketch is them finding it. And then,
yeah, they find it out.
And then they find out, and then they have to put it.
And then they go, "Oh, we should probably also hide the Earth's firmament."
No, well, they're already hiding the flat Earth,
the
fact that the Earth is flat. Yeah. So they like just add it to the
add it to the pile of
things that we hide.
This is enough. Yeah. Well, then we got it. And then do they have to sort of kill people who know about it, or
no? They just say, "Come on,
all right, just if you want to keep your job,"
and they give them a YouTube channel. Mm. They can do whatever they want on it.
Because if you let it out, some of it out, then you kind of have a, like, you can sort of say, well, no, we actually did tell people through this YouTube channel.
No one would believe you.
No one's going to believe you.
That's the thing. No one's going to believe you. You can tell anybody you want.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck, idiot.
Yeah.
You sound crazy.
Is there a sketch in... And I think exactly what we've just described is a viable sketch, right? NASA finding this out and then having to try and conceal it, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously, yeah, it's just too much. It's not that people wouldn't understand, or that people, or that it might somehow conflict with, you know, the way Earth runs at the moment. It's just that it's all a bit gross. And they feel icky talking about it.
I like the idea that NASA just thinks that everyone's fucking idiot.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone's real stupid.
Mm.
And they bought into this one idea, and there's no way it'll be pandemonium on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that they, like, hide even the small, like, the smaller things as well, just thinking that they're idiots. But we can't let them know.
Look, we tried with the basics and physics. And they weren't really getting very much of that. I don't think most people even can sort of get their head around what acceleration is.
Yeah. Mm.
So I think maybe anything, you know, beyond that.
I don't understand acceleration.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm the director general.
That's right. You are.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you feel the need to keep clarifying that feels like a real...
I am head rocket boy and I don't understand thermodynamics.
Well, that's okay. I mean, if you're working mostly on the head of the rocket,
as head rocket boy,
yeah,
I'm in charge of not just the head, not just the tip, but the
entire shaft of the rocket.
No, the shaft is no man's land. That's no one's in charge of that.
You can't control the shaft. All we can do is control the head. We try and point the head in the right direction.
Yeah.
And that's all we can
do. It's common knowledge in rocketry that you cannot control a shaft. There's nothing more wild than a shaft of a rocket.
You get to choose how much fire comes out the back, and you can point the head, but the shaft is its own
beast.
The shaft is a unicorn. Cannot be tamed.
We can barely control the length of it.
Men have tried to tame the shaft. They've gone insane.
Two words. Aircraft, no, Challenger shuttle disaster.
People
that's
tried
what,
to.
That's what happens.
They tried to control the shaft, and now people are dead, Alistair.
They tried to break the shaft. That was the first time they tried to break the shaft in, you know, like a horse.
Yeah.
You know, and then the shaft broke them. That's the thing. All those people are dead, yes, but they're also tame. They're now placid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll do anything the shaft says.
Yeah. I think...
Is that a separate sketch?
That might be a separate sketch. Yeah.
Shaft.
I also wonder if there's a... I also wonder if there's a sketch in... You know those kinds of scenes of like super frank honesty where people stand up in a movie and they're like, you know, I did this. You know, one person reveals something about themselves. You know, I wet the bed or whatever. And then somebody else gets the courage to stand up and reveal something else about themselves. I like the honesty of head rocket boy saying, look, I don't understand thermodynamics. You know, he's got this very important position. That gives everyone else in NASA the courage to stand up and say, look, I don't know how the sun works.
Yeah, I know. I think that's absolutely right. And they say a lot of the time I rely on the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I rely on being able to put my data in there. And to be honest, I have to.
It's funny that you mention that because we don't know. We don't know how the sun works.
We've looked and we've thought about it.
We've thought about it and it's weird. It's too bright, you can't see.
It hurts to look at it. Yeah, how could you understand it?
That's right. You know,
it could be very unpredictable, but luckily it hasn't been.
No, it's just been like, hello.
And we're like...
We've only been here for a very short amount of time, so it could have been, you know, it could have had a bad spell, could have had terrible teens. Or it could have just been a goody two-shoes throughout its life, you know, just done its work. But it is a smaller one, that's for sure.
But you know, a lot of the other ones are very far, but they could also be just very small.
Well, so that is true. A lot of them are very small. But some of the ones that are big, well, you know, especially those blue ones, They are very unpredictable.
Big blue ones.
Big
yes.
blue boys.
Mm.
The bluer the boy, the badder the berry.
Now, I know from having a stove at home that the blue flame always seems hotter than the orange flame. Is that true for suns?
Yes, it is, actually.
Well, you seem to know a lot about suns.
Yes, but I don't know how we work. We just know, oh, the blue ones are hotter and they blow up quicker. But that's it, you know? That's all we know.
That could all change tomorrow.
That could.
You know, the sun, we say that the Earth continues to go around the sun. We think that that's a pattern where the Earth goes round and around the sun. Mm. But it could just be that that's not the pattern, that the Earth goes around the sun like 365 billion times.
Yeah, and then goes somewhere
and then
else.
Does something else. Yeah. That could be the pattern, you know? 365 billion times around the sun and then 40 times just bouncing up and down.
Mm-hmm. How long have we been here?
In this room talking about this?
Yes.
But feels also, like weeks.
But also, how long in general? Mm. What? 5,000? 10,000?
Or give it another 10.
20.
Now, are we talking years or days? I think let's get the number down. Absolutely. Let's yes. lock in a number.
And then let's lock in a measure of
let's lock in a
unit
measurement.
Of measurement.
Okay.
Let's
I'm going to say
100.
100.
Perfect.
Okay. Now, is that decades or eons?
What is an eon?
Oh, my next door neighbour was an eon. Ian. He was an Ian. Electrician.
Hello,
he was an electrician.
Eon. Worship me.
All right, so we got...
Hello, it is I, your electrician.
Eon. Ian.
Yes.
Yes.
I have walked these lands,
Ian,
for many years.
Ian, I
grounding
just
currents.
So it's just
switches.
It's just an amplifier
making fuses.
And since it's no longer just fuses and
I
stuff like that,
I have seen the dawn of man.
Once they moved beyond valves, I didn't understand how to fix any of this stuff. So. I just need like a. I'm not sure if it's a transistor or something like
Eon.
That.
Honey, can I have a word? I just feel like, and Eon, I love him.
Yeah.
Yes, you love great. Eon.
But sorry, Ian. Eon.
It's okay.
I just think he seems to be disconnected from reality. He seems to think that he transcends time in some way.
People keep shaming us for being a generation that keeps. Just throwing things away, and I'm trying to be a person who gets things repaired.
Okay, but I think maybe Eon is the one
I
we should throw away.
I invented electricity. I gave it...
Eon.
...to a shaman.
Hi, Eon. Mm. I'm so sorry.
In the foothills.
My grandfather recommended you, and I just want to know, can you give me an approximate
what
quote?
What is now known as Chile.
Can you give me just like an approximate quote on how much it will take to fix the amp?
Well, you're looking at about... 2 to 3 hours, so that's 180 per hour. That's what I charge. Very good.
Jeez.
Very good rates.
I mean, that is.
But, well, you know.
Pretty
you know,
sharp. Like, yeah, I mean.
Well, I'm a registered electrician, so.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. That's just. You're making me want to go into that industry. I can't believe.
Is there a sketch in an electrician who. It emerges, may have existed before electricity and may have created electricity and may sort of have lived.
Maybe the personification of electricity.
Of electricity, yeah.
Oh. Look, I think there's magic in it. No, it's not you. Don't blame yourself.
No, but it is some kind of electrical signal that we're getting
right.
through the wires.
I am a method actress.
If you're getting
actress.
That at home. Yes. you know, my method for acting is to start acting then stop when it's appropriate.
Really?
That's my method. That's how I do it.
Give me a line now. Give me a line.
No, but act it. Don't just give a line.
Yeah. Mm, mm. Yeah, that's good over there. Thanks very much.
You looked at him while you said, thanks very much.
Who were you thinking? Was it me or him?
I was sort of, I was imagining a third person.
Okay, well, think of me. Think about, talk directly to me, okay?
Yeah.
What was that line that you said?
Yeah, just over there would be fine. Okay, Thanks very much.
So I am...
like a removalist or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've taken things
But you
from...
existed before removal.
Yeah.
You predated removal.
Yeah, before things... before people even removed things.
Mm, mm.
Even before...
there were things.
There were basic insects that were used for decomposers. So things would just lay on the ground.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm.
Right. And so this is one of those things that he's moving?
So he's just moving a wardrobe that your mother gave you.
Okay, yeah.
yeah, just over there would be great, thanks.
Wow, that's a great actor.
Thanks very much,
everyone. Yeah, no, that was good, actually. And I kind of felt the age.
Mm. Yeah.
Like I could feel, it was sort of like a time before the wet weather had settled, I think. And the, maybe even the atmosphere had formed.
Can you give me that? And just the night before, there had been a night prowler on the loose.
Okay.
In your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wait, and still the cupboard? He's moving the cupboard?
Yeah. But the night before, a night prowler had rustled.
I'd heard it on the wireless or something.
You'd heard
like
it on
that.
The wireless. Yeah. You've heard a rustle in the bushes.
Where
and
does
a,
he...
did a shape flicker across the window, illuminated briefly by the spark of a passing streetcar?
Yeah. And you heard footsteps on dirt.
And what is he wearing?
And there's no dirt in the neighborhood as well, which is what's made me really on edge.
It's all gravel?
Yeah, someone must have brought their own dirt. So that's all I know.
It's a gravel-only neighborhood.
Yeah. So it was like a break from the crunching. It was like a soft kind of...
Yeah. Okay. That sounds a lot like gravel.
Yeah. Is that the gravel?
Yeah.
That's what it would have sounded like. Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's
for,
what I mean.
If for dirt, it would be. Like,
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a dusty earth, isn't it? Yeah.
Maybe a. That's. I feel like that. That's grass. That's dry grass.
That sounds to me like marshmallows. We really maxed out tennis at those three surfaces.
That's mud.
You know?
Slush.
Yeah, tennis is, you know, the only sport that we try on different surfaces. We've done the clay, we've done the grass, and we've done the synthetic.
Mm.
You know, rebound ace.
It's been done 1,000 times. Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Say,
I mean, there's so many more options, though. You know, like, why did we stop at three? Once you're on, you know, a roll with surfaces, I want to know who is the best tennis player on marshmallow.
Yeah. Or hands.
On hands. On human hands. You know, they're
It'd
all
be
there.
Beautiful. But like seeing everybody sort of interlock like that. Mm, so like hands across America, but hands across like Wimbledon or something.
Mm. But, and I also think that, you know, the hands would try and grab the ball probably instinctively when it lands. So that would be a very different.
Yeah.
You know?
I think not as much bounce. Yeah. It keeps these upsets.
It's very grabby ground.
Yeah.
But then you could also, you know, the umpire could have a sort of a long stick that they could hit the hands with if they try and grab.
Welcome to Wimbledon and a fantastic day here. And we're trying the new hands court. We've had a couple of instances. We are the men's doubles. And hopefully we'll get to see some fastballs on this ground. And
quiet under the hands.
It is interesting to note that
everyone's down underneath.
Yes.
There's got little holes that they poke their hands up through the surface there. Right, and Nadal and, you know, well, whoever's the best on hands.
And, we've actually got...
there's already crowd surfing.
Tennis legend in the box with us today on this first day of the hands court, and it's Pat Cash. Pat, thanks so much for joining me.
Hello, everybody. It's really good to be here. Thanks.
Pat, you, when people said, let's play on hands,
yes.
You were famous. You were a famous denouncer.
I came out against the hands.
Yes, you denounced hands.
Yeah, I did. I said, no, that's a thumbs down from me for the hands.
And now that you see the hands all gathered around the court for a wonderful day of tennis. Is it a bittersweet moment?
Well, you know, I'm not too ashamed to admit when I'm wrong. And the first time I saw that ball scorch down the outside there and come to a dead stop in the clenched fist of what looks like a 12-year-old boy, I thought, you know, this is interesting.
It is important to know that the court today is primarily 14-year-olds.
There's
some 16 and 17. I believe I even seen down in the corner there is a 22-year-old hand. So
that'll be a very interesting corner. I think that's going to bring a lot to today's game. Yeah.
And so you have tried the court in the morning, I understand.
I was out there, yeah, warming up the court, yeah, yeah, and did a little bit of an exhibition match. And, yeah, interesting, really interesting. Yeah, lost a few pairs of shoes. And,
roof, roof! I'm a dog! I'm a dog! Sorry, we do have a dog in the box.
Roof!
Looks like not sure what he's doing there,
but
we'll be back with more tennis.
Give me that stick!
Just in a moment.
I think we needed that dog, to be honest.
I was going to bring you in.
I'm so sorry. That's I didn't realize right. that you were controlling everything from above. You're like
the
guy.
He's the master.
You're like guy in Truman Show with the Kanga.
Ed Hardy.
Ed Hardy t-shirts.
Yeah.
Ed Hardy is one of the best actors of our generation.
Is he? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you like him as Jackson Pollock?
I loved Ed Hardy as Jackson Pollock.
Did you like him? Was he in Forrest Gump?
I don't believe so.
No, I think maybe I'm confusing him with
Apollo 13.
No, I was thinking of him in The Truman Show.
Yes. Yeah, he was in that one.
I was thinking of him in The Truman Show again.
Ed Hardy, who famously said,
yeah.
Put more stuff on my t-shirts. That's what he...
No. Little bit more.
There's more room on that t-shirt there.
People just putting things on t-shirts. And I was like, hey, but we'll put everything on a t-shirt.
Put more things on there.
And then Ed Hardy was born.
Would you say classier or less classy than a Mambo shirt?
Less classy.
Less classy.
Mambo shirt is cool. If I see someone on the street with a Mambo,
yeah,
I'm coming up to them. I'm saying, "Hey, man, where'd you get that?"
Yeah. Poo shooter for life. Am I right?
Poo shooter for life.
Toot.
Imagine if Jesus was a surfer, though.
Yeah. And what about that landscape that looked like a woman's naked body?
I love the way that you draw dogs, and that's what I would say to him, and he'd be like, "This isn't my. I didn't make this. I'm not Reg Mombasa.
Hey, man.
Is Reg Mombasa.
Oh, here I am. Anyway, I used to be in that band, you know.
Did you?
Yeah, mental as anything.
Really? Mental as anything?
Yeah. Anyway, and I've got to go for a surf now, so I'll see you later.
And he drowned.
All this microphone's weighing me down.
And I was there the day Reg Mombasa died.
Hey, my dog! Come with me, Reg Mombasa!
Come with me, Reg Mombasa! Come with me, Reg Mombasa!
Yes. Ben and Andy, I was going to ask you guys both. It occurred to me, I've been thinking about drinking water a lot recently, right? And I don't feel like I can ever
And I think you should do it. Yeah, I think you should stop thinking about it. I think you should do it.
I think you should risk it.
Yeah.
Wait, stop thinking about drinking water or drink water or not drink water? Which one did you
think about it and see what happens.
Do you want me to think about it some more right now? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was good.
I'm a dog.
Take the...
do you drink a lot of water?
I love water.
Yeah.
I don't drink enough of it, personally.
No. Andy, do you
we discussed it today, Alistair, that I don't drink enough water, and it's the reason I get sleepy at 3 o'clock every single day. It's my body literally shutting down, cells going into cell death because they are dehydrated, because I just don't think to drink water until it's almost too late.
But this is my problem, right?
I get a little bubbler.
You get a little bubbler?
Yeah, what does that mean? A little thing that bubbles it.
bubbles it up a little bit. Apparently, this is what I just found out, that leaches calcium. It's like
your bones are decaying.
What? But I mean, I drink a lot of bubbled water myself. Apparently, it leaches calcium.
What do you mean it leaches calcium?
Leaches. You know, like you've heard of leeches?
Yeah, so it takes calcium away from you.
It's medicine.
Where does the calcium go?
It doesn't seem likely that that would happen, though, does it?
Well, it doesn't seem like it would be a lot.
Well, because what are you putting in the bubble? In the bubbles are just carbon dioxide.
Everybody loves bubbles. Calcium hates bubbles. So when it sees and feels the bubbles on your bones, it runs away.
I think you could be absolutely right.
Hey, come back here, calcium.
Is that your dog?
No, I'm leaving you. I'm getting out of here. Calcium, don't go.
Boy, run away back there. Run away back there. Fetch my calcium back. Fetch my calcium back.
No, it's me, Bubbles. Don't leave the body. Can't we all live together?
Bubbles and calcium. A romance doomed from the start.
It's the anti-romantic comedy.
Yes.
Well, they hate each other from the beginning. Well, they like each other. It's like the anti one. Mm. They love each other at the beginning, but then they just can't make it work.
And then one of them
keeps leaving.
Name some other famous anti-romancy.
Anti-romantic. Five 500 Days of Summer.
Uh huh. Terrible film.
Oh, hey.
I didn't mind.
Terrible.
No. What's your problem with that
movie?
Did
it make you feel sad?
No, I didn't like the main character.
The guy?
I think that he is all like...
But I think he was supposed to be like that. I think you're actually extremely woke and you were onto something that a lot of people missed at the time. I think there's been a lot of critical reevaluation of 500 Days of Summer recently with people being like, what was with this dickhead? You're on it. You're on it. You're right. You're right on.
You're absolutely right.
You're probably the only real feminist.
You're... going to continue to be right, I think, maybe forever. And I think if anybody at some point challenges you, I think stand your ground.
I'm actually starting up a feminist podcast.
Really? Oh my God. Well, this is one. We're already on one.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
We're already on one. So.
We are the bravest men in the world. Can we just agree on that? Boys,
I mean, I'm not afraid to say that I'm the bravest man in the world. Yes. Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say that I'm the bravest woman.
Sure, I mean, that's probably the bravest thing you can say.
Yeah,
yeah.
Especially today.
Yeah.
What's the bravest thing you've ever said?
I think probably that stuff about water earlier.
Were you going somewhere with that? Because I can't help but feel that, you know, you got a little derailed on your water journey.
Well, I was going to say, right, you drink more water, right? You think that's the solution to...
That's not the solution. That's the bloody...
No, it is a solution.
Technically, it is absolutely a solution.
Actually, I think water has to be mixed with something, right?
It is the...
Oh, yeah. Precipitate.
No, it's not the precipitate.
I know, I'm just joking.
It's the solute.
Solute, yes. That's it.
Right, oh my God.
So glad I got that right.
But then again... No water is perfectly just water. It's mixed in with chemicals.
I'd love to think
that solution.
We're like, sorry. Just imagine a dude listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Wait. Being like, what makes you think it's just a dude?
No, just
there are women who listen to this. Okay. It's a feminist podcast.
Okay. A person of any gender
listening
to this podcast and being like, water isn't a solution. And they start. They get up on their chair. They throw a belt over the rafter, and they're just putting it through. Just when you say solute, and they go,
oh, "You know what? I'm starting to think it isn't actually the solute. I think the solute might be what's dissolved in there."
Oh no! In the time that they've had to sit back down, they've just gone back up.
Could it be the? Could it be the?
No, that's a soluble.
I think the solute is what's dissolved in there.
That person is standing
solvent.
Back on
it's the water is a solvent. It's the universal solvent. That's what they call it.
Sit back down.
What about fire?
You know, that's the solution.
That's the
to so many things.
That's the universal solvent.
That's the last.
There's nothing
type of solution.
The last type of solution. That was so masterfully expressed. The last type of solution. Of all the solutions, that is the one that you would come to after you had exhausted all alternative solutions.
Were you like avoiding saying final solution?
Oh, well, I mean, we all were.
Until you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the one is after the penultimate solution. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
The end of solutions. Solution that is the only one left.
Requires no follow-up solutions.
Yes. All the solutions have been exhausted and this one.
All right. So, you know, you've done a bunch of solutions and you're looking around and there's not solutions remaining.
Yes. Except for one of them.
Except for one.
And that's the one I'm talking about.
And that's the one.
And I think this might be that what we just said.
The one, the solution without any sort of peers that are unused or unnamed solutions.
Yeah. There are no solutions waiting in the wings. Yes. After the solution takes a stage.
Or in the around. Assuming that all solutions were at some point preparing to take the stage.
It's a big test. All the solutions have finished the test.
Yes.
And this solution is the only one left doing the test.
It's that one.
It's that it test.
All right. Yes. So, you know the first solution?
Yeah.
All right, not that one. Now, you know the second solution?
Yes.
Not that one. All right. Now, think about that equation.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
That solution minus that one until solution minus that one equals...
One.
I think I hear what you're saying. Until it includes total amount of solutions minus one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then.
Yes.
Stop. Huh. And that solution.
Well, I like it.
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
So this is a sketch where there is no word last or final.
No, because obviously Australia is
the last continent.
Yes. We did recently have a problem where one of our senators who was elected on something like 16 votes from rural Queensland did use the phrase final solution in Parliament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a senator who is a Nazi. He is a Nazi.
He is a Nazi. Mm. I don't think even neo-Nazi. No. He's just a,
he's actually he's just one a of the original Nazis.
Correct.
Yeah. He's yeah. very old.
And but at least he's original, you know?
So, yeah,
and originality is
absolutely authenticity means a lot to you.
Does,
I know
it does. I think people workshopping alternative phrases to use instead of that could be
sure.
Something. I mean, because that's very much what we were doing.
I guess, yeah,
definitely.
All right, so new ways.
Hey, while you're writing that down, Alistair, I just wanted to bring up again the issue of value in shaving and the solution, which, you know, I think is the first solution.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Which is harrys.com/think tank.
If this is the first solution that you have, you don't need any solutions after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That would be the only solution.
Wait, does that make this the one solution that is remaining when all the other solutions have been used up?
No, because you don't even get...
There what aren't any other solutions.
By yet. Having this solution, it excludes all other solutions.
It's a problem killer.
Yes.
It's a solution that will kill all of your problems.
Anyway, if you go to harrys.com/thinktank, you'll get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. I'm talking a weighted ergonomic handle. I'm talking a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade. I'm talking a rich lathering shave gel. Harry's, tweet at me. Ooh. We're going to make one that's edible. I've got so many ideas. It's already smells delicious.
I'm glad that they have a weighted handle. Oh, I know. I hate it when those handles are so light.
Well, they have no weight. Right, and they waft away, or they blow carry away. Your hand up into a ceiling fan above
it's
you.
Too much.
You lose your hand above the wrist.
Yeah, what am I? I'm not a Jedi,
or a Padawan.
Neither of those ones.
And Alistair, you remember, of course, you get the travel blade cover that stops your blades thing. Going awry.
Yeah, going awry
in transit.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. You do live by the blade, but not like that.
Yeah, absolutely not with it in my side.
Yeah, you know, you live by the blade, you don't die by the blade.
You don't want the blade in your craw.
Yeah,
I can't wait to shave. I've been wanting to shave. I had to keep my beard for an audition for a role that I didn't get, and now I just haven't got around to shaving since then. And
you've been
I'm
aching
so
for
excited.
One.
I'm
you've been aching for a shave.
A face peel, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Except they don't. It doesn't peel your face.
No. But that's just what you call taking hair off your face.
That's what I call it. Yeah.
You and, see yourself like an orange, and your hair is your peel.
You're more like a peach.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Not after you shave. You're more like a nectarine.
Ooh, it's season. It's summertime. Get those stone food.
Make sure you go to harrys.com/thinktank to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. That's how it works around here, folks. But, and you know, if you don't have anything to shave, you know, maybe you've got alopecia. You're totally...
Shave your friends.
Shave your friends, exactly. Yeah. That's a nice thing to do.
Shave your pets.
Shave your friends, shave your pets.
You ever shaved your pet?
No, but I shaved a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't do you, because would you wax a pet?
Yeah, I'd wax it. Or I'd nair it, nair it off.
Nair. What about one of those like mechanical multi-plucker things?
Oh, those ones. Yeah. They look like torture.
They do.
I used it on my butt once.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How far did you get around the butt circumference?
Just one?
I just used it on one butt.
Your one butt?
Yeah, I just used it on my one butt.
Unibutt.
Yeah, and it was an excruciating. Yeah. But, like, I didn't go in. I just used it on...
You didn't use it inside the anus?
I didn't go into the anus.
On your cilia.
I didn't use, like I didn't,
butt cilia really... Isn't it weird that we call it... When it's on the inside, it's called cilia. But on the outside, it's
because it is a bit sillier. Having hair on the inside, that's sillier.
Wait, it is silly.
Is cilia hair on that's on the inside?
Well,
that's
how those I tiny little cilia. Also, I think maybe we also call them villi or something. That might be something we use for when it's on a bacteria or something. But they're the tiny little things that are inside your digestive tract, which absorb. Am I right here, Ben?
Probably.
I'm looking to you. I'm that absorb all the nutrients out of your
You biology guy.
I am a man of knowledge.
Yeah, no, I could tell. Well, maybe you can answer this question that I have about this thing that I probably don't need to keep trying to bring up. But so this is the problem. You can't drink enough water, right?
Oh, hang on.
And this is what I've been noticing. Is that, okay, so here's what you think. You think that you drinking more water, that'll make you less dehydrated, right? Then you drink more water, you just pee at an increased rate.
Yeah, you piss it all out. Oh, my God, that's my phone.
And
I'm so
then
sorry.
you just stay at this standard point of just I think if you just drink more you probably I think water's a diuretic so you drink a bit of water pisses out like 3 cups
I mean you
so you can't win right is that
I
correct?
Think that's what
people
it is.
Have gone too far
have they gone not far
people
enough?
Have drowned by drinking too
but
much
is
water.
That is that bad they're at least they're hydrated
but they're dead
but wet,
but
as fuck.
Wet as fuck. You see,
they're dead wet.
Would
wet
you rather be dead or wet?
Yeah, because I mean, or both.
Yeah. Would you rather be dead and wet than
or dry and alive? That's what I am. I'm dry and alive. I wake up every day and it's like this.
I hope you're getting that at home, listeners.
That's me walking through dirt.
No, well, because like, that actually, well, if now if you're talking walking through dirt, that sounds dry. That sounds wet to me.
Yeah, no,
it sounds like a wet dirt.
Fuck. You know what? I was joking.
Oh,
it was actually a wetland, a shallow wetland.
Man, we have got so much mic noise on this episode.
In a way, what is it?
Distressed.
In a way,
what is my
everything's voice? A wetland. You know, when it's raining. So,
you absolutely. Know, well,
yeah.
And think about that.
So what, like this? So let's say this.
I am. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, let's say, like the Sahara wetlands.
Yeah.
Right. So they're a wetland,
mm.
and we're expecting birds to arrive any minute. Because I mean, birds. That's what birds look for is a wetland.
Mm. Birds. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they really want is the ocean or something like that,
birds
or a
like
river.
A wet.
But like, if they want wetland, like. What you want is a river, you're just not willing to admit it to yourself, you know?
Mm. Birds will take anything. I saw some birds on some salt lakes. I'm like,
yeah.
What are you doing?
You're laughing at them, weren't you?
Idiot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, dude?
They're desperate.
Yeah.
And like, they look desperate.
Salt lakes, man. Grow up,
yeah.
Honestly.
But maybe it's because like, we're thinking about it from our sort of limited point of view that salt... Like, you know, like people are always trying to feed to you the idea that too much salt is bad.
Mm.
But then if that's the case, then why do birds go to the ocean?
I don't reckon that's real anymore. I think that's, I mean, too much salt is, of course, bad for you. But, like, I remember in the 90s it was a big thing.
Yeah.
Salt.
Yeah.
And
no one talks about it anymore.
Yeah.
My parents do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No one talks about it.
I think
sugar is actually far worse for you than salt.
I think this is the thing, isn't it?
I think salt is one of those things that you start thinking about when you're over 50.
Is it possible that that's what's 50? Happening to the fish? You know, it's not overfishing; it's the salt.
Yeah,
yeah, it's catching up with them. You know,
is this a sketch? Are you over 50? It's time to start worrying about salt.
I think it's close.
I think just a list of all the are you over 50? It's time to start worrying about. Salt.
You gotta learn
superannuation.
Yeah.
All the stuff now.
The words to Eagle Rock.
Okay, wait. Are you over 50?
Are you over 50? It's time to start worrying about salt.
Do you think?
Noise.
Neighborhood overdevelopment.
The volume of a television. Leaving the radio on before you leave the house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Newspapers.
Being out of touch.
Using the word millennial as many times as possible.
Which is three.
Three.
I think if you're over 50, you complain about how the world has changed.
What are you going to complain about when you're 50?
Well... I feel like the world's changed so much when I've, you know, when I've been young, and that I'm so used to constantly feeling awful, and then just going, you know what, I'll take it.
Is there a point at which your brain actually stops being able to adapt, right, to the changes, and you know, after that point, it changes are actually a threat to your existence?
It's very interesting, Andy. There is, as we grow older, a more of a build-up of what we call white matter in the brain. These are the neural pathways calcifying to a degree, becoming less elastic in their pathways. Less able to change.
That's bloody what I call the letters to the editor in Herald Sun. I call those white matters.
Eh? In what way?
Well, the things that matter to white people.
Andy, you've done it again.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I call
bloody done it again.
The page. I call it white matters. That's what I call the editorial page.
I don't worry.
Andrew Matthews. You absolute devil.
Al, were you going to say something?
I
have an unrelated comment,
please. Okay.
It's pretty unrelated, though.
Because
I saw a guy riding a bicycle, like a mountain bike type bicycle, down the footpath in Ballarat, and he was just doing a massive wheelie for ages, for like 50 metres just riding down the footpath. And I was like, that is so cool, right? But if he'd been riding a unicycle, which only has one wheel anyway, and he could have ridden it for it doesn't matter how long, it would have never looked cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right? Is it that he has the option of that other wheel and he's able to resist, you know, show his self-control in not indulging in the second wheel?
Yeah.
And is it the self-control that I respect?
Yeah, I mean, the bar is, you see two wheels, you expect two wheels. So it's within your sphere of expectation to look at a bike and say that bike is traveling on two wheels. And when it's not traveling on two wheels, it's surprising and delighting you.
Yeah, and think about it in terms of, I guess, you know, if I guess to expand on sort of Ben's point here is if you want to think about it, like, what about if you thought about a vehicle with more wheels? Right? What if you were to think about a car or like a 12-wheeler? If you picture that person using a single wheel,
driving that on a single wheel, you know, down the footpath in Ballarat,
you can see how your amazement increases. You know, I mean, if you were to expand that even further to say, just like a pile of tires, you know, like a big pile of burning tires, and you saw somebody riding down the footpath on a big pile of burning tires, but it was only using one wheel to actually do the motion.
Touching the ground.
Would you be impressed there? Or would you
go
back?
Impressed.
Would you think
about...
Is this
on the footpath in Ballarat?
Is this on the footpath in Ballarat? I would say an upside-down pyramid.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I'd be impressed. Now, here's my next question to you. Does that mean that, you know, a person with one leg is not cool, but a person with two legs hopping, that's cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, a person with three legs.
Mm-hmm. Hopping?
Hopping.
Or using only two of the legs?
Yeah, two legs is probably on par with just two, like a regular person.
Sure, but they still have a third leg that they're not using.
But it's less than one person with two legs hopping on one leg because they're using 50% of their legs.
Yeah.
Whereas a person using two legs is using like roughly 66% of their legs.
This is it's still in the realm of bikes.
Yes.
But this is a question to you.
Bike realm.
Still in the bike realm. Welcome to the bike realm.
You're listening to the bike realm.
Welcome to Triple R. You are listening to bike realm.
Single speed, multi-speed, any speed. We'll bring you up to speed at the bike realm.
That's right. Devin, I was just biking down the Brunswick Shuffle, which is a fabulous place to bike. And you bike there sometimes.
I do, yeah. Not so much since they opened up the Preston Bypass.
Such a great
bike pass.
Bike pass. And there's nothing more. Anyway, we are lucky enough to have...
Alistair Trombley-Burchell from the Two in the Think Tank podcast calling in.
Calling in. Alistair, you've got a bike question, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a dog. Ruff. Ruff, ruff, ruff.
Okay,
interesting. Ruff, riffity, ruff, ruff, ruff.
When I...
Riffity, ruff. Sorry. I was interrupting you.
It's all right. When I was riding my bike, there are lots of dogs there. And dogs come in different shapes and sizes and make different noises. And anyway, that's all the time we have for the bike realm.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I'm a dog. Ruff, ruff, ruff.
No, but I am a dog.
Yeah. Mm. No, I know.
Oh, thank you.
There is a man.
Yeah.
In my neighborhood. We're talking, and his territory is between Brunswick and Fitzroy. He has a penny farthing. Okay. And he rides his penny farthing. Why does that make us so angry?
Well, I think because today the equivalent would be a 50 cent, 5 cent. And we know that a 50 cent coin is a dodecahedron and wouldn't make a good wheel. And we just know that today we couldn't invent the penny farthing because, it would be unsuccessful. I think we're jealous, you know, and we're angry about that lost opportunity.
Coin envy.
Yeah.
Coin envy.
Although, I mean, probably relative to their values, the current version of that would be like a you know, maybe like a $20 note and like a $2 coin or something like that.
I can tell you exactly why I'm angry with him.
Why?
Because I know a guy on a penny farthing, I have no chance of holding on to my girlfriend with that guy around, which means that I have to work really hard to keep her...
Keep her down.
Keep her down. And this is a feminist podcast, but I have to lock her up sometimes, or at least she has to wear blinders.
I know the expression, lock your daughters up.
Yeah.
This is lock your wife up.
Lock your wife up.
Girlfriend.
Yeah. Or fiancé.
Or partner. De facto.
Look, if de facto's up.
I know that this is a feminist podcast, and I know this is totally inappropriate and appalling, and I feel bad about this, but I tell my wife that she's not worthy of a man on a penny farthing.
Well, that's sometimes smart.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But that's even...
Well, sometimes the best prison is the one inside our own minds.
Yeah.
Well, because what is going to happen if you don't say that, then... She'll run off with the guy on the penny farthing.
Well, she'll try.
She'll try, yeah.
Yeah, but he will be too fast.
Yeah.
But also,
and he will go through a set of traffic lights because those things do not stop easily. And he will be collected by her bus, and she will be heartbroken.
Yeah, but
and
also,
I don't want to see her like that.
He's got so many girls on the go.
Mm-hmm.
Literally running behind him.
Well, they probably throw themselves between him and the bus. He'll be fine.
Or between his big wheel and his small wheel. Yeah. Anyway, that's why
he was just riding around. He was waiting at the traffic lights. So you have to get off in order to wait at the traffic lights.
Well, no, I've seen a guy on a penny farthing. He just leans up against a pole.
Oh, yeah.
Puts his arm against.
He
a
did
pole.
Not have a pole.
No pole. So you got to get off.
Yeah.
No, my guy was wearing stilts. He was wearing very long. He was actually wearing those kangaroo jumping stilts.
Yeah.
So
how was he pedaling?
Eh?
How was he pedaling?
He had really low pedals.
Yeah, really low pedals, and then like a chain system that drove the power up to the wheel.
No, just low pedals and low wheel.
So it doesn't normal sound like bike. A penny farthing anymore.
It was a normal bike.
It was a man wearing stilts on a normal bike.
Yeah. Why? What are you guys talking about? I can't let my girlfriend get close to a guy on a normal bike. I'm not a very good partner.
I think you're...
Honey, stop looking! Don't look at him!
We have three words from a listener. Now,
uh-huh.
Ben, I'm going to take you through this. This is just... I mean, it's not that complicated, but what it is... great, you're running out of time. I'll let you know. So we have a character who's a person who listens to this show, who they'll send in three words because they support our Patreon, and they can send in three words, and then we use those words to come up with one final sketch.
Okay.
Great. The person, firstly, is Zachary Steinkamp.
Zachary Steinkamp.
Possibly Steinkamp.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Steinkamp.
Nobody knows. That's part of the mystery. That's
part of the beauty.
Zachary makes him so enigmatic and, you know, just
magical.
Yes.
It's what gives him his power, probably.
Yeah. Now, Zachary has sent us three words, and they're three random words, but you may recognize them from a certain television program.
Okay. Ooh, we just said okay.
Maybe we did. That was nice.
Maybe I'll say them in a different order and see if you can still recognize the pattern.
Okay.
Dishwasher.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Do you know where I'm going?
Purple.
Yes.
Monkey.
Yes.
Classic Simpsons reference there.
That's right. Now we're going to attempt to come up with anything that is even borderline related.
Here's something that's borderline related. My son... Look, pointed to his, you know, he's two. He pointed to his soap bottle.
Mm.
Soap's in bottles these days. Okay. I remember when I was growing up, soap used to be in a bar.
Yeah,
that's one thing that I'm going to complain about right now.
Yeah. Soap was a solid, and now it's a liquid. Pretty soon it'll be a bloody gas.
And I remember back
soap
in my
gas.
Day, I remember when kids had to use a communal soap and they didn't have their own soap bottle.
Yeah. Communal soap that we all scrubbed all over ourselves and shared germs. Yeah. Do germs survive being on a soap?
Yes.
Well, see, this is one of my concerns.
Anyway,
he pointed to the bottle and he said, purple monkey, because there was a purple monkey on the bottle. And I was so proud of him.
That you let him drink the soap.
I said, all right, you get one. We don't normally allow this until you grow up and you move out of home and then you realize you can drink whatever you want.
Soap
shots! Well, your boy's doing soap shots without me? Come on!
All right. It's a college that the people, they invented soap shots.
We're doing soap shots! Soapies! Sud buds doing soap shots.
Couple of buds, sicking some suds. Shotting the soap.
Mm-hmm. And then like a bubble of some soap comes up.
Mm.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, is this too much like the Tide Pod Challenge?
No. Tide Pod Challenge. They hate the Tide Pod Challenge.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because that's detergent.
Yeah, that's the difference. They're at a lifelong blood feud.
They're not the detergents. They're the sud buds.
Yeah, the sud buds. They actually have a fight with the detergents.
They've got deterrents for the detergents, which is clever wordplay. I think we can all agree.
They detergents.
Detergents.
Yeah.
Get out of here, boys.
Get out of here, you fellas.
He's a detergent. Get out of here.
Wait. Is there a way of narrowing what would be the origin of this? This is a bunch. Was this a college? Everybody became teetotal.
Well, I think,
but they still had the traditions of drinking.
I think it's another one of those fads that the young people of today are going after. First, it's Fortnite. Now it's bloody drinking soap. I don't know, Alistair. I'm just tired of it. Why can't they just dance?
They can.
I think when you move out of home, you realize that you can do anything you want, right? And it is it's intoxicating almost. Yeah. That realization that you can go to the supermarket, you can buy yourself whatever flavor ice cream. And what is another thing that parents don't let you do? They don't let you drink all the stuff that's under the sink.
Mm. Mm. And, you know, what's another thing that's intoxicating? The additives in liquid soap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Clean.
And imagine
inside and out.
How nice that soap piss would be. Hey?
Do you reckon it would bubble up?
You betcha.
You betcha that's gonna bubble up.
I mean, that would be a big part of there'd be a big pool. Be a big part. Everybody gets around the pool.
All the boys and the gals.
Pool. You don't want to piss in the pool.
No, it's a plastic pool.
Okay.
I was gonna think it was plastic.
I was gonna think you could just put them to good work. I think that place you just piss everywhere.
Oh, public locations.
Yeah, piss everyone. You just clean it all up because you got soap in the piss.
This is really nice because it is really going to turn around a lot of people's attitudes to those young fraternities. Such nice boys. The sud buds, they came down here and they pissed all over the monument.
And they cleaned up all the local graffiti.
My plaster wall looks great. It's never looked this white. Thank you, sud buds, for taking a big piss.
Nothing better for plaster than they'd poured a whole bunch of liquid on it.
There's something in there.
No, yeah. Look, the sud buds, they're cleaning up.
Are cleaning up this town with their own piss.
Sud buds, we're cleaning up the town. Sud buds, we're doing lots of piss. Sud buds, okay, we'll take a piss on your house. Take a piss in your toilet. Take a piss in your dog.
There's a great scene where the police, a local policeman, he sees some young kid pissing against, you know, a public building, and he looks really angry. He comes over, he puts his hand on the sud bud's shoulder. Sud bud turns around. We see that it's all foamy pee coming out. Mm. And this policeman's smiling. Some of it goes on his legs, and he's like, yeah, thanks sud bud.
Thanks, I just dropped mustard on there.
Sud bud.
Thanks, sud buds.
Oh, man, this is a great... This is a movie, not a sketch.
Mm. Uh-huh. Now, look, I think Ben Russell has to go because he has to go teach a class.
I do.
He's a professor. We call him the professor around here.
Yeah, they call me the professor.
So before you go, we'll run through the sketches after you go. But
how long is this podcast?
Sometimes it goes for an hour and a half. I don't know. We've somehow lost control.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, it'll be wrapped up within 10 minutes.
Yeah, within 10. But
you plug anything? Do you want to plug anything?
My podcast called The Grub.
It's my new favorite podcast. It's so freaking funny. Exactly. You guys are fantastic. You do that with Anne Edmonds and Greg Larson.
That's correct. And I also do a YouTube series called Little Scamps with Xavier Michaelides.
I'm going to pop links to both of those things down below this. Are you doing a show at the Comedy Festival?
I am doing a show. Just search my name because the title is incomprehensible. It's called Phil Angst. spelled FYLLEANGST.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make it as difficult as possible for people to come see my show.
But you're Ben Russell.
That's correct.
Yeah. Ben Russell, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben. It was a delight. I'm sorry that I have to go.
And what's your Twitter?
We are sorry.
Ben Russell's.
At Ben Russell's.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, all that's going to be down there.
Yeah, bless you both.
Hey.
And peace.
I touch you with my holy hand.
May our souls fuck in the sun.
In the sun.
Forever.
Forever.
And our suds mix, our dick suds.
Milky bowls.
Yeah.
Pour into one another.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Now I will run us through the sketches. Somehow I think we probably have like 10 or maybe
more. Yeah, well, that's right. Good. It's good. You know, it's good to have too many. It's good to have the option to delete one or two if perhaps it turns out in retrospect that some of them were a bit insane.
Andy, I don't know if that's the case. Okay, let me just start. NASA finds the Soul Pyramid in the sun and then they have to keep concealing it with all their other secrets.
Yeah, okay,
about the
sure.
Earth being flat. Sure.
I mean, it feels like the Soul Pyramid inside the sun's going to be an easier one to hide than the Earth being
secretly flat. They have photos and stuff like that now.
Oh, well, now they've got to hide those photos. You're right.
And they printed out a lot of copies. And one guy was standing near a window.
Oh, and a gust of wind.
And a gust of wind came by and they all flooded out like that.
Yeah, somebody gets their hands on one of those photos, they're going to know what that is.
Well, they're going to be like this. Oh, it probably says on the bottom, this is from NASA.
Yep, you're right. What a nightmare. This is the worst possible thing that could have happened.
Now, the second sketch is, it has to be a part of something, but it's a physics thing, but it's about how no one can control the rocket shaft.
Mm.
You know, you can control the tip, you can can dictate where that points, and you can just dictate the amount of fire that comes from the bottom, but nobody can control that shaft.
We create the illusion that you can control the shaft by controlling the head and controlling the bottom there.
Mm.
But if you had pure shaft...
If it was all shaft...
Yeah. There would be no way you could tame that baby.
It's mayhem.
Yeah.
But that's why you have the head and the base.
Mm-hmm.
And the anus?
The anus of the rocket?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. If one's the head, then the other must be the anus. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's
the rocket anus... Well, now we see the jets, the initial propulsion jets, just clearing out the debris from the rocket anus.
Anus. Then there's an
It's really a cloaca, isn't it?
God damn it, Andy, you know how to sing to my heart. we have an electrician who predates electricity and maybe is electricity. And I think I really like this sketch idea.
Yeah, great.
Andy, it's come out of... it really came out of a voice and a characterization of Ben's.
Something that we do never on this podcast, so it's nice to have a bit of a chat.
Oh, sometimes I do this.
And I do this as well sometimes.
Yeah, we sort of both do the same voice.
Yeah, I apologize that whenever Ben did a voice, I just tried to do the same voice in the podcast because that's all I've learned.
Yeah, that's okay. Look, we're not as trained as he is.
He's the man of so many voices. You owe it to yourself to listen to the Grub podcast, hear some of his... His voice.
What's his favorite impression of yours, Andy?
My favorite impression of his is when he does Jordan Peterson. It's very, very good.
Then the next sketch we have is tennis on hands. I mean, you know, different materials have been used for the tennis courts, but what about hands?
We're playing it on hands today.
We're playing it on hands. And it was
here at Roland Garros.
Yeah, Roland Garros. Is that a garage? Is that just another way of pronouncing
garage? I think that's like one of the French stadiums.
There you go. Then we got new ways of saying Stadia. Final solution. Just so for anybody who is wanting to say something that means that, but they
isn't
don't want to use the words. Yeah. Then we go, are you over 50? It's time to start worrying about salt. I mean, look, I think that went to a lot of different places, but I wonder whether we could just go deeper on salt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think you should start talking about salt. I think you should start... explaining to people why you think salt is bad.
I think you should start telling people we're not going to have any salt on the table salt, and then in no way looking into the amount of salt that is in all the processed food that you eat, but just act as if it's just the table salt, and so don't have that on the table so that your family say when they come around they can't have any salt when they want salt on their stuff, even though they're fine, and you continue to not have that tiny fraction of the salt in your diet and instead just eat all the processed foods.
I feel like you're attacking somebody directly, and I actually don't know who it is exactly. All right, then we have the... the unicycle slash one wheel impressment theory. So that's when somebody's traveling on one wheel, you see it on a unicycle, there's an amount of being impressed.
Well, there's none. They're using 100% of the wheels that they have available to them.
But Andy, aren't you still a little bit impressed that somebody is capable?
No.
But you're not as impressed as when somebody on a bike that has two wheels is popping a mono. Yeah.
I called it a wheelie, but it's actually a mono, isn't it, when they do it on the back wheel? Is a wheelie the front wheel?
No, that's an endo.
Then what's a wheelie?
A wheelie's on the back wheel. It also means mono.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I guess, you know, a wheelie doesn't talk about which wheel. Could be any time. Could be any time you're on a wheel.
Wheelsy. A wheelsy. That's two wheels.
That's two wheels, yeah. I was about to say the exact same thing.
Yeah. Shame that a wheelie bin we use two wheels on the wheelie bin. We should really only, if you want to call it a wheelie bin, you should only be using one wheel.
And we should go on a wheelsy bin.
Yeah.
By the way, we're just going back to the unicycle one wheel thing. There's obviously the highest form of that, of being impressed with that, is traveling on a upside down burning pyramid of time. Rolling obviously. On one wheel.
Yeah, it's got to be burning as well.
Oh, it has to be burning. Burning is a form of turning, I think.
Is it?
That's a great band name. Burning is a form of turning.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Turn burners.
Then we got the penny farthing guy. Why do we hate them? Because they're about to steal our girlfriends.
Yeah.
Why do we hate somebody on a penny farthing?
Why do you think nobody rides penny farthings anymore? It's because we hounded them out.
Absolutely.
Because we were threatened.
Yeah, very threatened. And then we have the local college frat fraternity who started doing soap shots.
Yeah.
And that is the origin story of the Sudbuds who go around town pissing out foam, soapy foam, and cleaning up that town.
And they all die really young.
Yeah.
But they do so much good in their short lives. Their
community.
All with, you know, all thanks to harnessing the power of, like, what they're good at.
Of binge drinking.
Binge drinking and public urination. And we just turned that around, you know, and it became such a positive thing and it brought the whole town together.
Mm-hmm. And all the other towns are now opening up, like, universities and things like that to clean up the town. And they're encouraging drinking.
Soap.
Yeah, soap.
Mm-hmm.
But drinking, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they open up a bunch of soap bars.
Oh, great. I was going to say a squeakeasy, because, like, squeaky clean, speakeasy, but it doesn't quite work.
Oh, that works enough for me, Andy.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. You know, we appreciate it like heck.
Yeah, it's actually the most wonderful thing to have you guys listen.
Yeah.
And I want you guys all to know that despite me having another podcast, this is my number one podcast.
Oh, yeah, Alistair has another podcast now. I still haven't managed to record a single episode of the Andy Matthews Comedy Sketch Show podcast.
Andy, but it's highly anticipated. And that's what's great about it is that you're building tension to it. I mean, it took me like over 7 months to get this thing out. I think maybe I started buying like potential images for in like April last year.
Buying on potential images? Oh, yeah. You were trying to get a logo made.
I was trying to get a logo made on Fiverr.
Yeah, and you went and you spent more money and got them to go back and do more work on it. Then you got our friend Pete to do it.
Yeah, I got our friend Pete,
who appears on the podcast and is a design genius, but we feel bad about the amount of work that we give him and the little amount we're able to pay him. Anyway, it's a good thing he's our friend.
Yeah, it's a really good thing. Anyway, you guys can listen to Shusher Guided Meditations. That's available now, and it's been going well.
I love it. It's so good, and people are giving all sorts of kind feedback. One, that it's actually helping them to, like, relax and even to fall asleep, but also that it's funny.
So, yeah, and if you want to review that, that helps it a lot, especially in these early stages. Mm-hmm. If you want to review it on the Apple Podcasts or iTunes.
Yeah,
or anything, really.
Yeah.
But also, if you want to review this show, That makes us feel so deeply good.
So deeply good inside.
I mean, Buddha pretends like meditation and the middle path is the only true path to happiness. The only real thing, real path, true solution to being happy that I've ever seen is getting reviews on Two and the Thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. They're so nice. They're so wonderful. And they never fail to make me feel great.
And that's all you guys who have that power within your grasp.
And we do check it, I'm going to say, every single day.
Every single day.
I hope this doesn't sound pathetic, but we check every single day to see if somebody said something nice about us on our podcast on the internet.
And just know that there is no exaggeration occurring.
And while we do appreciate every single positive review, and they mean everything to us, there's also no way that we could possibly get enough. So if you're worried, if you think that it won't have an effect, or that it might be too many or whatever.
Or if that you're now I'm using my dad's phone to review through his account.
Don't feel worried about that.
Don't feel worried.
Yeah. Just do it.
Just find the way.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're so pathetic.
Yeah.
Look, and you can also, if you don't feel like you can support us through words, you can always support us through money if you want.
I love that spin on it.
Yeah.
If you don't feel like you could say anything publicly about the podcast.
If you're not a person who's really in touch with emotions or anything like that, you can throw money at us through Patreon.
That is equally good.
And that is equally helpful. It helps get Andy out of the deep debt that he's in and the trouble that he's somehow got his family into.
That's only partially accurate.
Yeah. And then also you can find us at Two and Tank on Twitter, or you can find us on Facebook. But I'm at Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
And
we love
you.
Oh, we should mention we have a show coming up at the Comedy Festival.
Oh, the Comedy Festival. It's called Magma at Melbourne Comedy Festival. Starts at the end of the March, and then it stops
near, at the end of the April.
Yeah, 21st of April. And there's a lot of tickets to sell if you guys – they're on sale now.
There's also a lot of tickets to buy, though, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of tickets to buy. But if you buy them all and you want to sell them yourself, that's also okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
anyway, we
love you still.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.